Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, you'll learn how to break the chains of guilt and shame.
Now some say, well, Jeff, what you don't understand is that I can't forgive myself, and that's why I'm stuck. You know, the Bible never says anywhere that we are supposed to forgive ourselves. What the Bible does say, we're supposed to receive His forgiveness. How much better it is to say, God, that is grace that blows me away, that you would love me, that you would forgive me, that you would restore me. It doesn't make sense to me, but I receive it by faith in your word. You don't have to forgive yourself. You just receive His forgiveness.
He can heal every scar.
What do you do if you've done something that violated your moral conscience to an extreme extent? Some people turn to alcohol or drugs to try to deaden the pain, but that guilty conscience eventually finds them no matter where they go. Is there truly a way to get past our past? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today you'll be encouraged with this message that reveals the known secret of how to break free from the guilt and shame, and to then experience God's restoration, love, and forgiveness. The message today is entitled, Breaking the Chains of Guilt and Shame, and it's from Pastor Jeff's series, Sticking Points, which is also our thank you gift for your support this month of any amount, along with the booklet, Not Guilty, both resources for your support today. You can go to fromhisheart.org to find out more. If you're able to open your Bible now, do so to Luke chapter 15 as we begin to break the chains of guilt and shame. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 11. The scripture says, and he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. Such a vivid story, such a powerful story. Now, I want you to see from this story how you can break free from guilt and shame. But there are three requirements in order to break free, so that you don't have to live under constant condemnation from your past. Requirement number one, you take an honest look at your life. You look soberly in the mirror. You quit blaming your mother, your father, your friends, your brother, whoever it might be. You quit blaming them. You look soberly at yourself in the mirror. We don't like to do that. And the newer generation really doesn't like to do that, to look at themselves. Hey, you're responsible for you. I'm responsible for me. We're going to have to give an account one day to God. And so if you want to break free, you have to honestly look at your life. Requirement number two, you take a necessary departure from your pigsty. You leave the pigsty. That's necessary. Now, here's the prodigal. He disses his father in such an outlandish way. He takes what his father had earned and built. He takes it and he sells it for cheap. He takes the money and he spends the father's money on sin, on prostitutes, on alcohol and drugs and whatever else. He's just having a big time. And the scripture says, at the pigsty, he comes to his senses. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and left. He is a picture of repentance. Listen, If you're going to get right with God, if you're going to break the chains of sin and shame and guilt, you have to repent. No one can get right with God without repentance. Repentance, metanoia, means to change your mind, and it also means to change your direction. You're going the wrong way. You have to turn around. You change your mind, what you think about sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior, and you say, I'm going the wrong direction. I need to leave this pigsty, and I need to go back and get myself right with God. Hey, if you're living with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and you're not married, and you say, well, I really want to serve God. The way you serve God, the way you get right with God, is you leave that immoral situation. And you got to leave the pigsty. If you're going to get right with God, you have to repent. And the prodigal said, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And then it says, and he got up and went to his father. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. No one can get right with God without repentance, and no one can get right with God without action. It's easy to say you're going to do this. It's totally different to say, and I'm doing it. I had a man come see me. He was at the pigsty. His life had gotten totally out of control, and he was dealing with a problem with alcohol. He was dealing with anger. He was dealing with terrible relationships, all sorts of things. He came to me and he said, I'm sick of where I am. I don't want to be here anymore. Help me. And so I said, well, let's pray and let's map out a plan of action for you to get your life right with God. And he listened and he said, yes, that's what I want to do. And we prayed and he said, that's what I want to do. And he left my office and I never saw him again until I did his funeral. Some months later, he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He said he was going to leave the pigsty, but it was just empty talk. There was no action to it. What is real faith? What's a step of faith? We call it a step of faith because a step of faith doesn't sit there. A step of faith moves. And repentance is not just talking a big game. Repentance is actually doing it. So that's the second requirement. You take a necessary departure from your pigsty. And then requirement number three, you take a biblical stand on the truth of God. A biblical stand on the truth of God. Here's the problem that you have. Here's the problem that I have. Here's the problem that we have is when it comes to truth and error, truth and lies, it's so much easier to believe lies. And the devil is the liar and the father of lies. And when you sin and you do something that violates your conscience and that violates the commands of God and is a step way out of bounds and you know I have sinned terribly, well, then the devil comes in and he makes you feel so bad about it. He comes and just beats you up with guilt and condemnation. He's called the accuser of the brethren. The name devil means accuser, false accuser, slanderer. And so he comes and beats you up and that's how you feel. And so his lies seem to be so much like the truth because it's exactly how you feel. I feel like a bum and a scum and a loser. I feel like there's no way God would have anything to do with me. I feel like God should hate me because I hate me for what I've done. Adrian Rogers, in his treatment of this text, he postulates a different ending to the story. He said, this is how our minds think of this story. Here's the prodigal, and he comes to his senses, and he says, I'm going to go home and go to my father, and maybe he'll receive me. And he goes home and goes to his father, and he comes to the house. He sees the light is on in the house, and he knocks at the door, and nobody answers the door. And he knocks again at the door, and nobody answers the door, and he knocks again at the door, and finally his mother answers the door. And his mother opens the door and says, son. And he said, mother, I'm home. I need to see dad. And she said, well, son, you know that your father is very, very angry. I know, mom, I got to see dad. I got to talk to dad. Can you please tell dad that his youngest son is at the door? His youngest son has come home. He's at the door. He wants to talk to his dad. And she said, well, I'll go ask him. She closes the door. She's gone for a good while. She comes back. She opens the door and she says, son, I don't know how to tell you this, but your father said he no longer has a younger son. Good day. And closes the door. Can you imagine? But that's the way a lot of us think. There's no way God would want to have anything to do with me because of what I've done. But here's the truth of the story. It says, beginning in verse 20, and he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The father ran. This is another shameful thing. This is a smorgasbord of shame in the story of the prodigal son. Fathers wore long robes, the men of Israel. In order to run with a long robe, you had to do what the scripture calls girding up your loins, where you take your robes and you gather them together and you stuff them in your belt and you expose your legs. That was a shameful thing. Fathers didn't do that. You got to a certain age and you never exposed your legs. That was a shameful thing. Even people today, a shameful thing. They don't like to wear shorts. Older people, a lot of older people don't like to wear shorts. They definitely don't like to take off their shirt. And most of us are glad. But, you know, it's just like, you just don't do that. I saw a movie with Clint Eastwood. He's 80-something years old. He took off his shirt. It's like, Clint, please don't do that again. That's just not good. It's called gravity, and it's coming for you. And so he did this, and it's a shameful thing. But he ran to his son. You know why he ran to him? I just learned this today. I never thought about this before. He ran to him because that son had come back to the village. He had shamed his father. He had shamed his family. He had shamed the village. And the father knew, my son is going to be bombarded with mockery and criticism and shame. And I'm going to shield him from that. The father ran to him and he embraced him and he kissed him, his pig-smelling son. Kissed him repeatedly over and over again. He felt compassion for him. He still loved him. Listen, God still loves you. The devil will tell you God doesn't love you anymore because of what you've done. God doesn't love you anymore because you looked at this pornography and it's just so horrible and so terrible and you engaged in that because you engaged in this affair, in this sexual immorality, in this party scene, and you have violated so many of your principles and God doesn't love you anymore. But the truth is God does love you. He still loves you. Many of you may remember the story, true story, about what happened to Stephen Curtis Chapman and his family. Has 6 kids, 3 adopted children from China. His little adopted daughter, Maria, 5 years old. She was playing outside and his son, Will Franklin, was coming home. 17-year-old boy was coming home. And when he pulled the vehicle in, the little daughter, his little sister, Maria, she ran to the truck. He didn't see her. He ran over her. They rushed to her to try and save her. They called 911. They put her in the ambulance. Stephen Curtis Chapman was in his vehicle following the ambulance to the hospital, and he saw his son before he left the house and the yard. He saw his son just in a heap, just overcome with guilt and shame. And he rolled down the window, and he yelled out to his son, Will Franklin, your father loves you. Stephen Curtis Chapman said, I was afraid that I was going to lose 2 children that day. That I was going to lose Will Franklin to guilt and shame and remorse and grief. Hey, maybe you're here and you say, I've done so many bad things. As one guy told me, Jeff, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me very much. And you feel like that. I want you to know that God lowers the window of heaven and he yells your name and says, I still love you. I still love you. The father ran to his son. He embraced his son. Hey, God will do the same to you. If you will leave the pigsty of your sin, he still loves you. He will forgive you. And the son said to his father, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He'll forgive you. This boy confessed his sin to God and the father forgave him. Listen, the apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners and the Lord forgave him. He said, I'm a trophy of God's grace. If God can forgive me, he can forgive you. And some have said, yeah, but that was when he was Saul of Tarsus. Well, what do you do if you're a Christian and you sin terribly? Then is there any hope for us? Yes. Peter is the hope for us because Peter was a believer in the Lord Jesus when he denied 3 times that he even knew him. And the Lord forgave Peter. The Lord forgives the lost, the person that doesn't know Christ, people like Saul of Tarsus, and turns them into Paul, the great apostle. And the Lord forgives those who know Christ, who do terrible, horrible things, people like Peter, who in my estimation committed the greatest of sins to deny that you even know Jesus 3 times, back to back to back, in the Lord's hour of need. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He still loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. His little soliloquy, the prodigal at the pigsty was, I've sinned against heaven and you're in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. But he doesn't say that when he comes to the father. That is left out. Verse 22, but the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Maybe the son was getting ready to say, make me as one of your hired men. And he looked at his father and he experienced and saw that look of grace and of acceptance and of forgiveness. And he knew it would be an insult to the father's grace to say, I can't be your son, just make me as one of your hired men. And so he didn't say anymore. Or maybe it was the father that just shushed him. But the father immediately said, put a robe on him, a robe of righteousness. And the book of Isaiah said, he has wrapped me with the garments of salvation, with a robe of righteousness. I came with my dirty rags and he put upon me his robe of righteousness. He put a ring on his finger. That's not just a piece of jewelry. That ring was used to seal covenants and documents and to do business in the father's name. You're not a hired servant. You're not a hired man. You're my son. And here's the ring of sonship. And I put shoes on your feet. The slaves went barefoot. The sons wore shoes. He gave him his identity back as his own dear son. God will restore you. You don't have to live like a second-class Christian when you've sinned terribly, horribly. Hey, the Lord forgives. He loves. He restores. And then it says he will rejoice over you. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found, and he began to be merry. They had a party. Kill the fatted calf. The fatted calf would feed over 100 people. He's inviting the whole village to come and celebrate because this son of mine was dead and he's come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Now, we like to say that when a person gives his or her life to Christ, we say, well, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. No. The Father in heaven is rejoicing, and he says to the angels, rejoice with me. He's throwing the party. He is the one who has such tremendous joy that it overflows from his heart to all those in attendance. This son of mine was dead, and he's come to life again. Now, some say, well, Jeff, what you don't understand is that that's all wonderful and fine, but I can't forgive myself. And that's why I'm stuck. So let me get this right. The God of the universe, who is holy, 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 he says that he forgives you, but your standards are higher than his. So you can't forgive yourself. You know, the Bible never says anywhere that we are supposed to forgive ourselves. What the Bible does say, we're supposed to receive His forgiveness. A person who says, I can't forgive myself, is basically saying, I can't believe that God would forgive me. And I won't believe that God would forgive me, so I'm just going to stay locked down in guilt and shame. How foolish is that? There's a party that the Lord wants to throw, and He wants you to be the guest of honor alongside of Him who is the person of honor, the host of honor. And you say, no, I can't, because I don't really believe that you want to do this for me. I don't believe you could do this for me. How foolish. How much better it is to say, God, that is grace that blows me away, that you would love me, that you would forgive me, that you would restore me, that you would throw a party and have me there. Yeah, I want to come. It doesn't make sense to me, but I receive it by faith in your word. You don't have to forgive yourself. You just receive His forgiveness. Maybe you've come to the pigsty in your life. It's not falling that's the worst. It's not being at the pigsty that's the worst. It's staying on the ground. God is calling, opening the windows of heaven. He's yelling out your name. I still love you. And if you will leave your sin and come to me, you'll find my arms open wide, and I will forgive you, and I will cleanse you, and I will restore you. And I'll throw a party for you if you will come to me.
Hey, are you ready to break the chains of guilt and shame in your life? Are you ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Perhaps you know that you're a believer, that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Savior of your life, but your sin has placed you in the pigsty. God wants you to come back to your Heavenly Father today. Confess your sin. Resurrender your life to walking by the power of the Holy Spirit instead of your own strength. Or maybe that you know that you know that you know right now, this very moment, that you are not a child of God. Well, you can be. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way, will you come to Him now and sincerely cry out to Him from your heart in repentance and faith? He promises to forgive you, and God doesn't lie. He'll make you His child and assure you your place with Him in heaven when you die. What a great blessing and comfort that is, knowing the truth about what happens to us when we leave this earth. Surrender your life to Christ. When you go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link on our homepage to help you in your Christian journey. You'll find some free materials to download and some specific messages from Pastor Jeff that will help you. We pray you'll do that today. It'll be a blessing to you. Today's message was part two of the lesson, Breaking the Chains of Guilt and Shame, one of four in Pastor Jeff's series, Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. It's available online in multiple formats when you contact us. It's also our special thank you gift for your support of any amount this month to From His Heart. And with that gift, we'll send you the series along with the companion booklet that ties it beautifully together with today's lesson. And the booklet is entitled, Not Guilty. Again, the four message series Sticking Points and the booklet for your gift this month. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for supporting From His Heart this month. We're out of time for today. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting you'll be right back here next time when Pastor Jeff continues to provide sound, biblical teaching that moves the heart to hear the Word of God in a clear and fresh way. Monday, join us for the lesson, Religion or Relationship. That's next time, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.